church.
We just need to start that way every week from here on out. So every time we say good morning, you just clap and applause. Like, isn't it good to be back together as much as we can? Amen. So I just have to say this, hardest thing about this morning for me, and I've already told a few of this, trying to figure out what I was supposed to wear. Anybody else there? Like, how are we gonna do this? And then the next hardest thing is like, how do I greet people? Like, virtual high fives, virtual hugs, the quarantine elbow tap, whatever that is. Like, it's just hard, especially when you get into a room of a bunch of people that love each other and it's been a long time since some of us have seen each other. And so nonetheless, man, it is good for us to start moving towards reopening and being able to gather together again. Certainly appreciate all of your help in us maintaining safety and doing all the things that we know that we are being asked to do. Although it feels a little bit weird coming into the church and it looks like a little bit of an airport because of all the signs and the tape and all that kind of stuff. Nonetheless, thank you for that. We do want to be safe, but we also want to make sure that as a church, we are not doing anything that would give ammunition to those who might want to put an end to us gathering again. And so we're being cautious and careful and appreciate your help in that. As we jump in, I want to just take a minute to just welcome you. Glad you're here, but also want to welcome those of you who are a part of Central that aren't here right now. You're in your houses, you're at house churches, you're with your families. We're glad you're here as well. For you and for those that are part of the Church of God that are joining us online, we're glad you're here as well. And for those of you who don't know Christ that are here and in listening in, we're certainly prayerful that this is a wonderful opportunity for you and that you're encouraged this morning as well as we engage. Now, as we continue on and we think about coming together, certainly things look a little bit different this morning. If you expected to jump right into worship, we're actually doing that, so don't panic. We are going to worship and we're prayerfully going to worship with all kinds of exuberance as we sing later on in the service. We moved it to the end of the service for a variety of reasons that you can probably read about if you really want to. But nonetheless, don't worry, we are going to worship. But I do want to start us off with something a little bit unique. I want to start preparing our hearts by going to the Word of God. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a text of Scripture. And those of you who are watching online, if you want to join us in Psalm 145, this is a great time for you to do that. But I'm going to read some aspects of Scripture, and then I'm just going to call you to use your voices and declare amen. If you believe these things to be true about God, let us focus our attention upon who he is. Let's point our hearts towards him. Let's ask him to be present with us this morning. And let's praise him. So I'm going to read, and I'm going to say amen. And then if you believe those things, then you just scream out amen as the people of God as we begin to prayerfully praise God this morning as we gather together. Church, our God, the Lord, is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Amen? Amen. Amen. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him and all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our mouths will speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for this moment, even though it certainly isn't exactly what we hope, and we hope to see everybody in this space. We hope to be able to get back to that day soon. But Father, we do come, and we are so excited for the privilege to be here this morning, to lift our voices to you, to come together, to study your word, to be encouraged with one another, Father, to be pressed by your Spirit. Father, we thank you for this privilege. And Father, we pray that you would be blessed by everything that is done today, by everything that is spoken today, by every song that is lifted to you today. Father, I want to pray for each of us in this room as we have come out this morning, Lord, that you would help our eyes to see, our ears to hear, Father. Help us to lay things aside. I want to pray for those that are listening online in their homes, in their cars, wherever it may be, Father, that you would also attune their ears and their eyes to see and hear you and to hear the things that you would have. Father, move with your Spirit in the lives of your people. You are not bound by buildings. We've learned that. We've been reminded of that. You're not bound by how many are together. You are not bound by any of these things. You are with each of us wherever we are, and there is no God like you. And so we thank you for that. And we ask that you would bless this time this morning as we look to your word. And Father, we pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, so here's the deal. We're going to jump right into our text this morning. And I'm going to need a little bit of help because as we walk through this, as you feel the Lord leading you, go ahead and yell out amen, because this is a smaller room or smaller group in a really big room. And you're scattered all over the place. So it feels a little bit like I'm talking to a camera still. So nonetheless, I want to encourage you to be a part of this. And same thing, if you're online, you feel free to comment and engage. We want engagement as we join together. So here's what I want to do. We're going to turn our attention to the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I encourage you to do this in your homes as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to be reading verses 32 and 35 this morning, or through 35 this morning. Now, before I jump into this, let me give a little bit of context to this text. So Paul is writing to a group of believers in the area of Corinth, the city of Corinth, and he's writing to them really with the heart and the desire that the people in the church that is there in Corinth would be a people that are living their lives devoted first and foremost to the Lord. And so there's a lot of stuff that is going on in the city of Corinth. There's a lot of stuff that Paul is writing to. Apparently in this church at this time, they were struggling with the exaltation of sin within their body. Like, they were okay with it. They were even celebrating it in some ways. And so Paul is rebuking them. They were dividing based on personality. Some of them were saying, well, we're going to follow Apollos, while others were saying, well, we're going to follow Paul. We never do that in the church, do we? Like, that's not at all something we engage. And that's exactly the kind of thing that's happening right here in this text as Paul is writing to them. There's challenges with the expression of the spiritual gifts and how that's happening. There's general distractions that are taking place within the people of God there in Corinth. Very specifically, there were some issues within the church, even about marriage. There must have been some discussions about, should we marry? Should we not marry? If I'm not married, should I look to engage in that? And that is very specifically the context that we're going to jump into in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But here's the deal. Today we're not going to address the topic of marriage. We're going to address something else, which is ultimately Paul's heart behind why he is writing these things. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And so I would encourage you, church, since we just have gotten out of the habit of it, go ahead, if you would, just stand with me out of respect for God's word. If you're in this place, feel free to do that in your homes as we want to read out of God's word and just be reminded of its place of authority in our lives. So church, hear the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 through 35. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. And thank you how it always is profitable for us when we come to it. It is always there to challenge us and to convict us, to encourage us as your people. I pray, Father, that that is exactly what you would do today. I pray, Father, by your Spirit in each of us, that you would lead us to truth, but Father, ultimately by the work of your Spirit in us, that we would not only be hearers of the word, but we would be doers of the word, no matter how hard it presses against us. So Father, we just pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. So, and ask a question. I don't know how many of you have seen this movie or not, but one of my favorite Disney animated films, Pixar films, is the movie Up. I don't know if you've seen that. If you haven't, if you watch it, you'll probably cry in the first like 5 minutes of the movie because it's like just an emotional tearjerker there, and then it kind of turns and kind of turns into this adventure story. My favorite thing about the movie Up, if you have seen it, is this one character who's not really even an important character at all, but his name is Doug. Does anybody know who Doug is? Doug is a dog. Doug is a dog in this movie, and Doug... it's a dog that has had this collar put on his neck where he, when he thinks, he starts, you can actually hear him talk. And so you can hear Doug's heart. You can hear the things that he says. And so here's what I love about Doug and that character is that Doug would be in all kinds of circumstances and engaging in kinds of things, but Doug has a real problem with staying focused. Doug loves squirrels. And so he'll be in like some serious conversation with something or something going on, and then Doug's ears will pop up and he'll go, squirrel? Like, squirrel, like, here's the thing. If you have kids, you know this is an example of a lot of, like, kids, right? If you ever try to talk to kids or have a Bible study with kids on the couch, like, they're like, squirrel, squirrel, like, all over the place. Like, they're distracted. They can't stay focused on one thing. Now, here's the thing, and here's why I talk about Up, and here's why I talk about Doug. We're all Doug, aren't we? Like, at the end of the day, aren't we all Doug? Like, we want to be focused on things. We want to give the Lord our attention. But at the end of the day, do we not all struggle to go, squirrel, squirrel, all the time? And you just have to watch that movie if you want to see what I'm talking about. But it's the best part. But this is all of us. We're all Doug. Like, you don't even have to listen to me to know this is true. We live in an unbelievable age of distraction. Just Google that term. Google age of distraction, and you're going to see articles on Newsweek and New York Times and The Atlantic and YouTube videos that even the world, even the secular world, recognizes we live in an age of distraction. Like, just think about it. When you watch the news, are you focused just on that news story? No, there's like this little thing underneath it telling you all these other things that are happening. You want to watch a football game? There's all these updates. Like, it's constant that there's stuff being poured into our lives with our phones, right? Can we even go a day without the constant the buzzing and the ringing and the little notifications that come up on your phone with the little red things that tell you you're missing something? Like, you're missing something. You miss something on Facebook. You miss something on Instagram. You miss something in your email box. You missed a phone call. You missed a text message. Like, it's a constant distraction. It's impossible for us to be able to direct our eyes anything in the world and not have it be assaulted by some advertisement. Like, we've taken every space in this world. One of my favorites is I was reading a book recently. And maybe I've shared this before, and I've certainly we've talked about distraction before, but there was a marketing company that won best marketing gimmick in South Korea, and here's what they did. So they would take buses of people, and right before they let them off in front of Dunkin' Donuts, they would actually squirt the smell of coffee into the bus. As if we don't all want coffee bad enough. Like, they would squirt it into the bus, and so you would be in the bus amidst all these people, and you'd be like, oh, man, coffee. Like, that smells amazing, man. What I wouldn't do to have a cup of coffee. Man, I want some coffee so bad. And then they'd get out, and then Dunkin' Donuts would be there. And it's like, well, why ought to just go in and get some coffee? And it worked. Like, we don't even know that we're being assaulted by these things, and it's constant. People telling us to go here and being distracted by all of these sounds, all of these sights, all of these smells, all the time. Like, that's constantly being pressed at us. We live in an age of distraction, and it's hard for us to focus. It's hard for us to engage. And so here's the thing, as I think about this season, what has happened for some of us, I know not for all of us, but I do think for many of us, to some extent, some of those distractions have been minimized just a little bit. Maybe just a little bit. We can't go out and do as much as we used to do. We can't be quite as active. Maybe you're not going into the office. Maybe you're at home more. Maybe there's not as much to do, like go to the zoo or go to Aviate and all these different things because they're closed. And so maybe in this season, we've had just a moment to breathe, to get our head just a little bit above water, to recognize that we are being distracted. Just maybe a little bit. And the hope and the desire for us is that we would come to this moment, we would come out of this season, and that we would recognize that, and recognize that part of us that's so bent to be distracted. And this gets exactly to the heart of what Paul is trying to communicate to the Corinthians. Listen to what Paul says. He says, I say this for your good. Not to make you feel guilty, not to make you feel bad, but for your good and for your benefit. To promote good order and to secure. Just catch that word. Paul is trying to secure the Corinthian churches, and I believe ours as well, undivided devotion to what? To the Lord. Let me just ask a very blunt question. Do you have undivided attention to the Lord? Like, do you give undivided attention to the Lord? Has that been secured in your own life? Like, I would be lying if I said that was true about me. That my undivided attention is to Jesus and to his will and to his service. But this is what Paul is calling us to an undistracted devotion. And I say undistracted instead of undivided there because the actual Greek term for undivided that we read in the ESV actually means undistracted. So in a unbelievably distracted age, what Paul is saying is like, I want you to be fully, undistractedly devoted, not just to loving and going to church, but to the service of the Lord. That's what that devotion means. It's this undistracted service, devoted service to the Lord. This is Paul's heart. And I can't stress enough that we should desire the same thing. And yet for that to happen, we have to recognize first that we're distracted. We have to recognize first that we are distracted by our world. And we need to ask ourselves, do we give our undistracted devotion to the Lord? Do we seek to give our undistracted devotion to the Lord? Or even a harder question, do we even care? Like that one hits us hard, right? Like do we even really care to give our undivided distraction or undistracted devotion to the Lord? So the first thing we need to do, and I think this is important for all of us, is we need to simply take a moment to examine our attention. What is attention? Have you ever thought about what attention is? What does it mean to give attention to something? As I was reading, there was a definition in regards to attention that I loved, and it's this idea that what attention is and how you can define attention is in this giant cacophony of noise and sound and things coming at you. Attention is when you take one thing, pull it out, and focus your attention on it because it's the most important thing to you. That's what attention means. So attention means that you're focusing your attention on the most important thing. You're saying, this is it. I know all that other stuff is happening. I know there's all this other noise out there, but this is what I'm gonna pay attention to. And that's hard. That takes discipline. That doesn't just happen by itself, does it? I'm gonna give you an illustration from my own life. When Karen and I get the rare opportunity to go on a date, which doesn't tend to happen all that often, although we try to get out as much as we can, a lot of times we like to go out to eat. And one of the things that we actually try to avoid are a lot of the restaurants that are like kind of the sports grills, like Applebee's and some of those places. And here's why, because I'm like Doug when it comes to TVs. Right? And so if I go into a restaurant and there's like 700 TVs and they all have different sports going on and there's the Chiefs highlights and then there's all these other highlights over here, we're trying to talk and I'm like, I just can't focus. And so I struggle with that. Like that's a hard thing. And so I have to avoid those spaces. Or if we go to that restaurant, we have to kind of try to position ourselves to where Karen's back is not to all the TVs, to where I can kind of drift. Right? Now, here's why. Because I learned really early on in our relationship that there was a couple of times we would go out and have dinner together, and I could see the tension in my wife growing. And the frustration, I think Irene just said amen to that. I don't know why, but nonetheless, I could sense this tension, and I knew it was because at the end of the day, because I was being distracted and because I wasn't focusing my attention, what I was communicating to her was she wasn't the most important thing in the room. Her voice, her opinions, her thoughts, it wasn't important enough for me to pull myself away from those TVs and all that they had to communicate and look at my wife and listen to my wife. Listen, because here's the reality. When we don't give our wives the attention in that moment, we are communicating that something else is more important. Brothers and sisters, aren't we doing the exact same thing to the creator of the universe? Like if he's saying, listen to me, be present with me, be in my word, be undistracted and devoted to me as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're constantly doing the Doug thing to everything else, aren't we communicating to him his importance in our life? Now that's a hard thing for us to admit, but yet it's true. And should he not have more attention than anything else in our worlds? As much as we love our kids, as much as we love our spouses, should he not have all of it? Now listen, even in our own homes, how many of our kids, how many of our spouses would look at us and feel the pain that comes from not feeling the attention of a parent or a spouse? Because we're too busy looking at a screen, or we're too busy doing things that aren't them, and we're not focusing our attention on them. Friends, the Lord wants our undistracted, devoted service to him. Nothing should ever have our attention more to the Lord. You know, I think our attention is in a million other places. It is in a million other places. So let's examine ourselves a little bit this morning. Let me just start by asking this question. Can you still your mind? Have you ever even tried? Like, do just a little experiment sometime this week and try to lock yourself into a room. Make sure you can get out, please. But try to get somewhere where you're by yourself and try just for a little bit to just still your mind. Like, that's hard, isn't it? Like, I don't know if you've tried it. I know that's hard for me. Even if the entire house is quiet, even if there's nobody else around, like, it's hard because all I can think about is that I have to, like, still my mind from the constant intake of stuff. And so, like, I start thinking about the emails that are sitting in my inbox. I start thinking about the texts that I'm missing. I'm starting to think about the stuff that I've got to do later on in the day. I've got to start thinking about all of these different things that just constantly come. It's hard to still my mind. If it's hard to still your mind, that's evidence that your mind is distracted, that it's not only focused on the Lord. You say, well, but what am I supposed to do with all that stuff? And I get it. This is why it's challenging. This is why it's hard. And I'm not saying those things don't matter, but what I'm saying deserves your attention first is the King of Kings. We can get to those things. We can come to those moments and those things that need our attention later. But if you cannot still yourself in the quietness of a moment, it's evidence that you are distracted. If you can't come to the Lord, another test for us, another thing that we need to examine in our lives is, where does your mind go when there isn't anything to occupy it? Does it go to entertainment? Does it go to fantasy? Does it go to longings? Does it go to fears? Does it go to frustrations? Does it go to worries? Is it the Lord? Is it the Word of God? Is it something that you studied? Is it being mindful of what he's calling you to? The truth is, if our attention were on him, if he was the most important thing in our eyes and in our attention, then we would be constantly pulling him out. And we would be constantly having our minds go to him and to his will and to his things. This is what Romans chapter 8 says. If you got your Bibles, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 5. A text you may be familiar with. It says this, "For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. You realize this is what's gonna happen to us, doesn't it? Like, this is what happens if our minds can't stay themselves upon Christ, that we're going to find ourselves living in accordance with the flesh. So actually, it was funny because literally when I was preparing this sermon, it was like the week before that, I got up in the morning to do my quiet time with the Lord. And right before I started, I got my coffee, because you know that's the most important part of quiet time, right? We keep talking about coffee because it's such an important thing for our lives. But I got my coffee, I sat down. I opened up the Word of God, and I was about to pray and get into that, and I thought, oh, there was this email that I forgot to send out. And so I went into the bedroom, and I got my phone, and I typed my email, and then the email led me to another thought, which led me to an article that I read, which led me to a Facebook post, which led me to a short YouTube video. None of them were bad, none of it was evil, none of it was wicked in any way, shape, or form. I spent 30 minutes doing that and then realized, oh man, like everyone's waking up in like 30 minutes, like I gotta get back to the Word. I read the Word of God within 5 minutes, didn't remember anything that I had read. And let me just tell you something, I struggled with my flesh all day. I struggled with my patience, I struggled with my pride, I struggled with my thoughts. I struggled because I allowed myself to be distracted. I went to something and I allowed it to pull me away from the Lord, and I wasn't focused on Him, and I wasn't focused on that moment and in that space, and I allowed myself to be distracted, and as a result, exactly what Romans talks about happened to me. Because I set my mind on things of the flesh, I began to walk in the flesh. Is this not what happens to us all? It's so easy, like we don't even think about it. It just happens because so much of our lives is about the distractions, and it's so dangerous for us. And I would contend that every single one of us could stand to see that if Paul were looking at us, he would be pleading for us to secure an undistracted, devoted service to Jesus. Because here's the deal, brothers and sisters, the days are short. And if the season we're living in right now with the coronavirus and all this stuff and the pandemic doesn't remind us of that, then we're missing a warning. The days are short. We don't know how short, but they're short. Paul's been saying they were short all the way back then, and that's the way we need to live our lives. So here's the deal. What's the answer? What's the answer? The answer is focusing our attention. The answer is focusing our attention. If we believe that He is worth our undistracted attention even more than our spouses and our kids, although we desperately need to apply these things I'm about to talk about to them, to lay our phones down and look them in the eyes, but if we believe these things, what do we do? First, we've got to recognize this, and I think this is an important thing to us, is we need to recognize that not everything that distracts us is bad. Kind of, I think that's our tendency, right? It's like we think that it's always bad stuff, and that's the easy stuff to pay attention to. Like we can be mindful of the bad things that distract us, but it's the good things that I struggle with the most. It's the good things in life that I struggle with the most, which is fascinating about this text, right? Because Paul is saying don't be distracted with something that's God-given, that's right, and that's beautiful. Marriage. Like we celebrate marriage. Just celebrated a marriage a couple weeks ago, right? Like we celebrate marriage. Marriage is beautiful. And Paul is saying, like, even in the midst of something so good, it can take our eyes off the most important good and the best good, which is Christ. And so for me, the most dangerous things are the good things. My family. Sometimes my work and in ministry. Sometimes it can be entertainment that's not bad, but it's just good times to rest. And so we need to be mindful. Like, not everything that distracts us is bad. This is one of the reasons why I think fasting is such an important thing for Christians. Because a lot of times what fasting is we're fasting from good things to help our souls recognize how quickly we're being distracted by those things. How quickly we want those things, and we move to those things. Listen, friends, if you want to be mindful of how much something has a hold on you, try to remove it for a season. I don't know if you've ever done it, but try to put this in a drawer or whatever your version of this is. Put it in a drawer for like a weekend and just hide it or let it go dead and watch the angst that comes up. Right? Have you ever done it? Like, shouldn't that be a red flag for us? Like, do you ever feel angst because you haven't been in the Word of God? Like, and if you do, is it the same kind of angst? Like, that's a red flag that these things have a hold on us in a way. And it's not just phones. Like, I'm not trying to demonize phones. That's not the case at all. We need them. They're great. They're good things. But the point is that some of these things, they're good things, and they have a hold on our attention. And you can tell that they have a hold on our attention because as soon as you remove it, you feel the angst. Like, did I miss something? Did I miss a text? And it's recognizing, helping you see that you're not even trusting in the Lord. You're trusting in your ability to stay up on everything. Friends, this is such an important thing. We have to recognize that not everything that distracts us is bad. And we need to be intentional about trying to figure out what those things are. Secondly, we need to take captive our thoughts. Colossians 3:2 simply says this, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Focus your attention. Focus your thoughts. Friends, this isn't gonna happen by us walking away from this service time this morning or from watching this online if you're at home. It's not gonna happen by you just going, oh, that's a really great idea and I think it needs to happen. Because what's gonna happen if that's what you do is you're gonna get steamrolled by distraction the second you step out of the space. It takes discipline, it takes effort, it takes mindfulness, and it takes a desire and a zeal for us to be undistracted towards the Lord. And so my encouragement to you is, listen, take the effort. Because you have an entire world of distraction that is doing everything it can to pull your eyes towards them, and you know what they're using? They're using your nature. They're using the nature of your fleshly desires, that stuff that comes easy to us, the stuff we want, the things we feel are gonna be the things that satisfy us. And so we have to lean into the Spirit, not in the flesh. And so it takes focus. Romans 8:3 says we are to be putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Listen, as I've said this in the past weeks, knowing this is a problem in our lives isn't good enough, brothers and sisters. A disciple of Jesus knows it, learns it, and seeks to do it. We need to be hearers, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And don't hear that as a lack of gentleness, but as a pleading and a hope that this is where life is for us. And we walk away from these things, make a step, make one little step to eliminate some distraction. Make a step to say that I'm not gonna let it come back and pull me away. Maybe it is, you take a moment and you say, I'm gonna put my phone in a drawer starting at 5 o'clock every night so I can focus on the Lord and my family. Maybe it's that you say, I'm not gonna watch Netflix for these days during the week. Maybe it's I'm gonna get up early in the morning and spend time with the Lord. Maybe it's you're gonna go on a walk. I don't know what that is, but take the effort to take captive your thoughts. And part of the ways that we can do that, couple things that we can take our thoughts captive. Look for your weaknesses and make changes. You know why I don't take my phone out of my bedroom in the morning when I go read my Bible? It will suck me in. If it is laying on the table with me, even if it's face down, it will suck me in. Like it just is, I have to recognize that if it's sitting at the table there with me, that it's gonna do that, and so I have to keep it away from me. What are your weaknesses? Is it TV? Is it entertainment? Is it sports? Is it electronics? Is it your phone? Is it your work? Is it your job? Understand your weaknesses. Understand the things that take your attention away from God, like the TVs in the restaurant, and do something about it. But you won't do anything about it if you don't look at your weaknesses, if you don't look at the things that are there that are sucking your attention. I think we just don't pay much attention to even our weaknesses or the recognition that some of these things that have our attention are idols for us in our lives. And frankly, even the constant pouring in of our lives can be an idol. When do you find yourself most distracted? Establish days that you just aren't watching TV or Netflix, refuse to listen to the radio or Spotify. I don't know what that looks like. But find your weaknesses. Second, use tools. And you say, well, this is just so practical, but isn't that important for us? Like, use tools. First tool is listen to the people around you. Like, have you asked your kids, do you feel like you have my attention? Have you asked your kids, do you feel like I give attention to the Lord? Or your spouses? That can be a really scary question, can't it? Like, that's a scary question. What if they tell you no? I don't feel like I have your attention. But the people around you will know where your attention is sometimes better than we do. They see it. They recognize it. Another thing you can do is you can put something on your phone like Moments, which will track what you do with your phone. And I tell you, when I installed that on my phone the first week, I was like, oh my word. How much time I spend looking at this thing and picking it up, how many times I do it in a day. Like, you can do that. I've got another program on my computer called OneFocus. And what it does, it allows you to create a list of websites that just blocks everything from it during the day so you can focus. And here's the reason why, because I realize that even at work at times, I can go to good things on something like YouTube and I can watch good things for like an hour and realize that time has gone away and I'm like, whoops. And so it's good to just not have to worry about it. Like, I don't have to think about it. You just hit that on the morning and it's good for 8 hours and it helps protect me from being drug off into distractions. Instead, we can focus on the Lord. So find tools to help you maintain your attention. Force yourself to be still. Sit outside with nothing but a cup of coffee. See, there I am, coffee again. I mean, this is something that brought me, I don't know. Find a way to sit outside, listen to the rain, be out with your family, be out with your friends, be with the Word of God, be in prayer. Find a time to be still. So that when you're looking ahead at you, you don't see the things that are sucking your eyes in and trying to pull your attention in. And then finally, and most importantly, as we look to do this and we look to take captive our thoughts, brothers and sisters, replace the distraction. You can't just stop. You have to replace your attention. You have to give your attention to something, don't you? Your own thoughts, the Word of God, the person in front of you, the TV. We're always giving our attention to something. So replace the distraction with the right thing. Scripture simply tells us to do this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. Are you doing that in your life? Are you engaging to love the Lord as the most important thing in your life? And secondly, seek first his kingdom. See, the key for us in what Paul is seeking to secure is a purpose and intent to our lives, a focus of our attention upon the things of God. You know what? That's crazy. Even in our own world, the most successful people in our world are the people that were able to put everything else aside and look at just one thing and drive hard at that. Whether that's Elon Musk or Bill Gates or anybody else, like, they're successful because they said, I'm gonna focus on this one thing and I'm gonna pour my life into this one pursuit, this one seeking after of this one important moment. They're the most successful. Like, this is what Paul's calling us to. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first to be devoted to the service and the will of the Father and to Jesus and to do the things he's called us to do and to be the people that he's calling us to be. So as the world seeks to draw away your attention with a constant barrage of things and noise and clatter, church, fight back. Love the Lord your God. Take this moment if you've been able to get a little breath and don't go back. Don't just jump back into our world and add everything back in that you used to do. Maybe it's time for you to say, I'm not going to go to all the sports camps. Maybe it's time for you to say, I'm not going to go to all of those meetings or go to all those stores or restaurants or whatever it is. Maybe it's a time for us to really evaluate and say, maybe I need to pull the distractions out of my life that have been forced to be removed. Or to be focused on the things that are helpful in our lives. Fix your eyes upon him. Put things in front of you and your families that are gonna stir your affections for Jesus. Church, maybe it's a documentary about faith. Maybe it's a movie about love and sacrifice as he defines it, not as the world would define it. Maybe it's a film about nature. Maybe it's you as families talking about the power of creation and storms and looking at it, going on walks. Maybe you're going to mission trips together. Maybe you're going to reach your neighbors together. Whether that's, whatever that looks like, find ways to stir your affections for Christ. Read his word, pray. We all need to grow in this. Don't fill every moment of your life with distractions. None of us should. And yet it's so tempting for all of us to do it. Church, as things begin to pick up speed again, guard against any new slowness, against losing any new slowness that you found in your life. Guard it with a vengeance and replace that and put in that space Christ and his will. Let us encourage one another to be a little less distracted by screens and the barrage that's around us, to focus and secure our attention upon Christ. That's what our desire should be. And I pray that you step out of this space and you seek to be doers of this call in some small way. Don't get rid of everything tomorrow because it probably won't last. Just make one small step, whatever that looks like in your life. So here's what we're gonna do as we close our time. We're gonna close our time with a time of worship. And for those of you who are in your house churches, if you're at home, this is a time for you to potentially take communion in your home. And so as you do that, as we move into a time of worship, take that bread and be reminded of the body of Christ that's broken for you. Take that juice and be reminded of the blood of Christ that is spilled for you. And for those of us in this room, obviously we aren't partaking in communion just to avoid the passing of plates, but I encourage you to go home and to do that with one another, maybe right after the service. But for those of us that are in this space, let's begin to lift up our voices to the Lord in worship. Let's celebrate who God is. And those of you who are watching online, join us as we seek to worship our Lord this morning. Would you pray with me as we seek to respond to these things? Father, these are hard things for us in a lot of ways because we've built our entire lives, our entire culture around distraction. Sell this, buy this, go here, do this. Find your joy here, find your identity here, find your satisfaction here. Be this, and constantly we're hearing this. Constantly we're seeing things, constantly we're being drawn away, constantly our flesh is being fed over and over and over again. And Father, may we as your people, may we be empowered by the work of your Spirit in our lives to not be a distracted people, but to be fully devoted to the service of our King, you. Because of who you are, not out of duty, but out of love, because that's the most important commandment that you've given to us, to love you. Our Lord and God, with all of our hearts and souls and minds, Father, may we have our attention fixed upon you. Because in you there's life, fullness of joy. Psalm 16 says, the pleasures forevermore are at your presence. Psalm 145 that we read this morning talks about how with you there's joy and there's rest and there's all of these things, Lord. Life is with you. And so may we devote our attention to you and may we walk out of this space with a zeal to do these things, not to just learn about it, but to do it, that we might find more of you and less of the world, that we might find more of your Spirit and less of our flesh, that we might be your people, called according to your purposes to do your work. And Lord, now, in this moment, as we seek to respond, let us respond to grace that no matter how many times we fail, you're there. Let us respond to the joys of your steadfast love. Let us respond to the wonder of being together with the people of God and encouraging one another to just be a part of a people that love one another. Father, let us lift our voices to you who are mighty, who are good, who is beautiful, who is just and right, who is powerful above all things, who has saved and delivered our souls, who has removed fear from our lives, has removed condemnation from our lives, and has promised for us an inheritance You are the God in whom we praise. You are the God in whom we seek to serve. You are the God in whom we desire to give all of our attention today. And we pray and ask these things in your name.